You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Tom Steyer may be one of the most influential Californians you've never heard of, but that may change. Speculation about a potential run for governor, the U.S. Senate, or even the presidency has thrust his name back into the headlines. But the Democrat and environmental activist is not a stranger to politics. He's been the driving force behind a number of California ballot measures, including most recently the one that raised the state's tobacco tax. He's also founded the group Next Gen Climate, which is a nonprofit focused on climate change, which has since rebranded itself as Next Gen America. He joins us now. Tom, welcome.
Joe, thank you very much for having me.
Before we get into some of the heart of the matter and some of the things you're working on with your group here in the San Joaquin Valley, I just want to get it out of the way. Capital Public Radio had you on and asked if you would rule out running against Dianne Feinstein. You declined to rule that out. Just talking in general, could you see yourself running for office in the near future?
I feel as if we're in a gigantic political crisis. And I have spent the last 5 years full time working to try and push for a broader democracy and a more progressive California and a more progressive America. And so in that effort, I have not ruled out anything because I feel as if whatever I'm really searching for the way to contribute as much as I can at a time of what I think of as American political crisis. I haven't ruled anything out, but I also haven't made any decision about running for any office.
Earlier this year, you told the PPIC in California at an event in Sacramento that you think the threat to democracy we're seeing coming out of Washington, this is a quote, is as profound as I've seen in my lifetime. Has anything changed in your assessment since you said that in May?
I would say it's more profound than any time I've seen in my lifetime. I believe that this administration has been systematically going after the rights of different groups in America, starting obviously with immigrant rights, a woman's right to choose. They have been trying to prevent African Americans around the country from exercising their right to vote. They are continuously and strongly fighting against working people's right to organize in the marketplace. They have been speaking out against LGBTQ rights. And I think that when you look at their unwillingness to unequivocally separate themselves from the overt racists and hate groups in the so-called alt-right, you see an attitude about America where they don't feel as if every citizen has the same political rights and has the same rights to respect and dignity. And that's something which we absolutely disagree with. So I would say I've never imagined that we would see a president who could not unequivocally condemn neo-Nazis and the KKK. That's a level I never thought I'd live to see.
One of the big questions out there right now as we go into another election season is how should parties respond? In fact, how should even Republicans respond? But Democrats are asking that question, too. You are a Democrat. And I want to ask you, where do you fall on this question? Should the party go left? Should it go more centrist in its effort to regain the House and maybe retake the White House in 2020? How do you see that existential question for what is the future of the Democratic Party?
Joe, it's funny. I don't really see it in those terms. I believe the job of the Democratic Party is to stick to our basic values. I mean, I was just saying every American has the same political rights and privileges. Every American has the same right to respect and dignity. To stick to those values and to use them to come out with a vision for the future which supports the American people, which talks about how to invest in our future, invest in our people, talks about building a clean America, and talks about standing up for the rights of every individual American. And I think if we do that, I don't know if that's left, right, or center. That, to me, is just standing up for basic American values, the kinds of things that animate people in every part of this state and every part of this country, and that means that we're actually responding to the day-to-day needs of citizens. If we do that, I don't know how to characterize it, but that's the job of the Democratic Party. And if we do that, we'll do fine.
But there's also a lot of concern amongst Democratic voters, many of whom supported Bernie Sanders in the primary. How do Democrats manage to build that coalition amongst people who maybe are disillusioned by the way the last electoral primary season went?
Well, I think that all of this revolves around being close to the grassroots. I don't know if you know this, but Next Gen America, our organization, might be, it's one of the biggest or the biggest grassroots organizations in the United States. So I believe it all revolves around being close to people and understanding what's going on at the community level and also having a vision for the future. So when you look at those kids who supported Senator Sanders, look at what Senator Sanders is saying now. He's saying we need a single-payer healthcare system. He's looking to the future and saying, what is a vision that is better for this country? And I think that it's clear that it's time for that kind of vision, for the ability to look past today and the problems of today and imagine a better future. So when I think about what is going to inspire young people, it's a sense that there's a better future out there that they can be part of producing, part of creating. And if you look at what happened in 2016, that's exactly what they responded to.
And speaking of single payer and taking it back more towards California and locally here, that is not only an issue for Senator Sanders right now, but also one earlier this year in the California legislature as a bill was advanced that would advocate just that. It eventually died. There was some discussion of whether that was really a serious proposal and the ability for the state to pay for it. Where do you fall on something like single payer? Is it time for California to explore that? And how would such a massive change take place, in your view, if that's a good idea?
Well, first of all, let me say that what we've seen in terms of healthcare this year is really two things. First of all, we've seen that 2017 in Washington, D.C. so far has been proof that healthcare is a right in the United States of America. All of those attempts by the Republican Congress to repeal the Affordable Care Act, unsuccessful attempts, failed attempts, revolved around the idea that you cannot take away their health care from tens of millions of Americans. Health care is now a right in the United States of America. That's the first thing that happened this year. But the second thing that happened this year is an increasing realization, which I completely agree with, that we have an out-of-control health care system. Not because the Affordable Care Act is bad, not because we're running it well. In fact, in California, it's been a great success. But it's also true that if you have healthcare as a right, the question becomes, how do we deliver the best healthcare at the lowest possible price to every American? And if you look around the world, the systems that do that the best are the kinds of systems that Senator Sanders is talking about, which is Medicare for all or single payer. And the question that, so I take that extremely seriously. I think we're going that way, and we should be going that way, and I wholeheartedly support it. And the question about this, which I think is a very detailed question, is how do we get there? We have an existing system that delivers healthcare. We can't suddenly snap our fingers and pretend we have another system. There are innumerable institutions, companies, and systems set up to deliver that healthcare. So there is a very real question, first of all, that we decide together that we're going towards single payer. And then there's a question of how to get there. What is the glide path for getting there? And I think that's something that we're going to be debating over the next couple of years. And I think the work has not yet been done fully on that. And so when I think the proposal was made in Sacramento, I think it's a very serious proposal because I think it's making this, it's acknowledging and demanding awareness of the two points about 2017. Healthcare is a right. Now we need to deliver the best healthcare at the lowest possible price to every American. So I think that we are in this process. It's an extremely important one. I think it will enable us to drop prices. I think it will enable us to improve care. And so I think that as we go about this, there is a lot of heavy lifting to be done. I know some of the people who are doing it. I don't think anyone thinks we've done all of the analysis and all of the research. But unlike the Republicans, we will do it. We will actually do full analysis and understand where it's going. I think the Affordable Care Act has been a huge positive first step, but there is definitely a second step that's necessary.
Do you think California could go it alone, or is this something that is best taken on the national level?
Well, I think that, you know, that's going to be a question, Joe, of how the money works. You know, we have a system where we pay taxes at two different levels. And so we're paying a lot of money into the federal government for health care. If we continue to, you can't have it both ways. You can't spend that money at the federal level and at the state level. So in a sense, it's a question of how do we afford to do this using the money that we have, just using it in a concerted fashion. And that's one of the things that's got to be studied.
So you started NextGen, moving on to your organization as a climate change nonprofit focused on that issue. It's since changed its focus a little bit. Why the change there, and how has that played out?
Well, let me just give you our mission statement. Our mission statement is to act politically to prevent climate disaster, promote prosperity, and protect the fundamental rights of every American. So it's a pretty broad group. It really, and I think that it comes out of the, we changed our name because we realized that, in fact, for years we had been working on a host of related issues and concerns and policy areas. And so really, it wasn't that we changed, it's that we recognized the change that we'd made several years before. And I think that it reflects a fundamental belief on our part that the way that change will come in our society, whether it has to do with fair rules in the marketplace for working people, whether it comes about energy and climate legislation, whether it comes about clean water in the Central Valley or incarceration or the rights of immigrants, it will be a coalition of people working together across interest areas and policy areas, as opposed to siloed single-issued groups. And so I think what our group reflects is what is true, that in our grassroots work, we have 65 partners in the state of California, that we partner with, you know, a large number of groups in Fresno, that we work together. And some of those groups are specifically immigrants' rights groups, and some of them are, focused on LGBTQ rights, and some of them are focused on our organizations of labor unions. So we have a number of partners, and I think that what we're saying is we will work with them across issue areas, that we will succeed together, and that it is a broad agenda that will work, that we will either stand or fall together as a coalition.
Before we go, speaking of clean water, I know you've been active on that. SB 623 was held over in September in the legislature, meaning it'll come back up again next year. So maybe a temporary victory, not quite a defeat, but not quite a win. This would have provided funding for communities who lack access to clean drinking water right now. Why get involved in this? It's a pretty local thing that's specific to some communities here in the San Joaquin Valley. Why did this catch your radar?
Joe, honestly, clean water is a justice issue for us. The idea that poor rural communities and the people living there don't have a right to drink safe drinking water, healthy drinking water, just seems wrong. And, you know, after, I think, we've all seen what happened in Flint. I think that everybody has a right to clean water and to safe drinking water. So from our standpoint, it really is about justice. Honestly, we just don't think that that's right.
We've been talking with investment manager, Democratic fundraiser, and potential political candidate Tom Steyer. He's the founder of the group NextGen America, which started out as a climate change nonprofit and now is focusing on a number of issues across California, including here in the Central Valley. He's also rumored to be considering political office in some form. As he said in our interview today, noncommittal on that at this point, though. Tom Steyer, thanks so much for joining us.
Joe, it's incredibly fun to be on here. Honestly, thank you for having me.